Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Podcast, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here today with my co-host, Ringside Robbie, and we have a great show for you. And as always, you can catch us on the web at www.ringsidereporter.com. And today, we're going to talk about Adrian Broner, Cincinnati's own, selects his next opponent, and it is a good one, or maybe not. Let's go, champ. Is Shannon Briggs' dream about to come true? Is he going to fight for the world title again? Could happen. Could happen. Our history lesson today, death by a thousand left hands.
Yep.
And we continue our lightweight fantasy tournament. But first, we get started with this weekend, the Battle of Brooklyn. Daniel Jacobs versus Peter Quillen. And this one, I did not see coming. I got to be honest, man. Let me tell you what. It wasn't a toss-up fight. I thought Quillen definitely has the advantage. And I thought Quillen would definitely win. Now, whether it's a knockout, I thought he would knock Jacobs out. Or it goes to a decision. I still think Quillen wins. I didn't think Jacobs had enough, enough to deal with Quillen, what Quillen's going to bring to the table. And, I was pretty much flat out wrong. I don't think anybody saw this scenario.
Nope.
I mean, nobody. A minute into the fight, Jacobs landed a straight right hand to Quillen's temple and pounced on him with an onslaught of punches while his opponent was against the ropes. Quillen stumbled forward, and referee Harvey Dock looked into Quillen's eyes and halted the fight without the challenger even touching the canvas. After the fight, the referee told Showtime sports reporter Jim Gray that Quillen could not comprehend where he was and was not able to continue. Now, you saw this. Did you think it was a good stoppage? Do you think it was too early?
No, I don't, because as I pointed out previously, everybody has Pritchard Cologne on their mind, okay? Yeah. Nobody in their right mind wants to see another Pritchard Cologne. Had Pritchard Cologne not occurred, I think Harvey Dock would have allowed this fight to continue a little bit longer, but keeping in mind that Pritchard Cologne has happened, I think referees and commissions are on notice, and I would rather have a fight stopped too early than too late. And so, therefore, I think this was a appropriate stoppage. Danny Jacobs even said after the fight, look, we didn't fight too long, but if Peter wants a rematch, he'll be more than happy to give him one, and I don't see anything wrong with that. I just think Peter got hit with a shot that he was totally surprised by. He didn't realize Danny Jacobs had as much power as he's got. And I even questioned it last week on other places where somebody brought up the fact that he was 88% knockout ratio, and I said, well, look who he's been in the ring again. I said, this will be his first test. We'll find out if his power was real, and I guess we got to take Danny Jacobs more seriously than what we previously have.
Right.
So I think this was a good stoppage, and don't be surprised if you see these two do it again.
Yeah, that was legit, man. He's got legit power for sure. I mean, 88%. I think him and Triple G, they were talking about him and Triple G as being like the top knockout guys in that division, man.
Yeah, well, they're saying that now that Jacobs has beaten Quillen, that Triple G and him are the top two middleweights in the division. And, of course, since they fight on opposite sides of the street, we don't know if they're ever going to be able to prove that in the ring.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, man. I was shocked when I watched this fight. Watching him come out, and like I said, man, Quillen, I thought for sure is just going to finish this guy off. You know, if you'd have told me this fight was going to get stopped in the first round, I'm like, Quillen all day. You know, that's what's going to happen. And man, I mean, Jacob surprised me. He did great. I mean, just that power was just fantastic, man. I thought that, you know, about the stoppage, I think that, like, to me, it was, did he stop it too early, man? I don't know. Could he have? What I would have liked to seen happen is if he gave him a standing eight count, because could have been warranted and would have been warranted in that situation.
As you know, under the international rules of boxing that they use for title fights, a standing eight count is not in the rule book. The referee could not have given him one unless Quillen actually went to the canvas. Now, if Peter had his wits about him, he should have taken a knee, and then the referee could have gave him an eight count, and then it would have gave him more time to assess whether Quillen would have continued. But I think Harvey Dock was going to allow the fight to continue when he pulled him apart, but then he looked into the guy's eyes and realized, hey, this guy's not even here.
Right.
I've got to stop this, you know.
Did you see Quillen's eyes when he got rocked and you saw him stumbling around? They showed, you could see his eyes, and he was nowhere to be found.
Nope.
I mean, he was gone.
Yep.
And, you know, sometimes you need, you know, a little bit more time. Sometimes you can recover pretty quick. I don't know what case that was. But, you know, to the referee's credit, and Peter Quillen didn't complain at the end.
No.
He didn't say, hey, this was a lousy stoppage.
And see, most fighters, if they feel that the fight has been stopped prematurely, they will throw a fit in the ring. He didn't say a word.
No, not one.
Yeah.
Not one. So he knew he was done. He knew he was out.
Yeah.
So, shocking. I mean, just a shocking, and not that it was shocking that Jacobs couldn't have won the fight. Because I believe he could have, you know.
And look, let's face it. If you're a Peter Quillen fan, you've got to question the way he's been carrying himself in the past few fights, because he gave up his WBO title because, remember, supposedly Al Haymon told him not to fight Matt Korobov, and he's kind of went to the Miguel Cotto school of negotiating. And maybe this will be a wake-up call, and he'll go back to the Peter that he was before he won the title the first time around, and maybe he'll discover that he actually wants to be in this sport. So,
Wait.
Because I think some of his weight issues is him being lazy and whatnot. So, I don't know, we'll see what happens from here. But Lou DiBella, who is doing a lot of promoting for the PBC, is talking that Jacobs is going to fight the winner of Andy Lee and Billy Joe Saunders, when Andy Lee has already said he wants to fight Triple G in March. So it depends on who offers Lee the most money, if Lee can get by Billy Joe Saunders.
Absolutely, yeah, that's going to be the money fight right there. I mean, hey, that's that's going to be good. I tell you what, man, Jacobs, what do you think? I mean, and there was a lot of schools of thought that said, hey, Jacobs just knocked out Peter Quillen, knocked him out easily, you know. And they say that Peter Quillen was a better opposition than Lemieux for Triple G. Do you buy into that?
Well, I think it's about equal, because Peter was a former title holder, as I just mentioned, until he pulled the Riddick Bowe and threw it in the garbage can. But I think it's about equal. In a way, to settle this debate, I would like to see Peter Quillen and David Lemieux actually fight. You know, but no, I think it's about a 50-50 call there. I think you can give Jacobs a slight edge because Peter's been fighting longer and he's fought better opposition.
I think so. I think so, too. Yeah, I think so.
But I feel bad for the killer in the division. Once again, everybody's avoiding him like the plague. What does this man have to do? I mean, he goes out, he wins, he enjoys fighting, but yet nobody wants to get in the ring with him. I mean, the 15 days have now passed. We have not heard from the WBC what's happening with him and Canelo.
They got an extension on that. Yeah, the Canelo 15-day there's been an extension on that.
Okay,
that fight's still in play, not by much. It's not going to happen. The other thing, though, is to me, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, look at that. I mean, Canelo, what about Canelo and Daniel Jacobs? I think that's a great fight.
Wow. Well, after what I saw Saturday, I got to put Daniel in that discussion. You know,
yeah,
to be honest with you, I've never really thought much of Daniel Jacobs because every time I've seen him, oh, this is the guy he's going to beat. This guy's going to beat.
Saturday, he
opened eyes.
Yeah, I remember in Chicago. I saw him in Chicago when he fought Caleb Truax.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I thought he won the fight. Wasn't real impressive. Saw him against Sergio Mora. It was back and forth fight. I was surprised Sergio Mora clocked him like that because Sergio Mora's not a guy with a bunch of power, you know.
That's Daniel Jacobs' weakness. People can put him on the floor, but Danny's always been able to get up and recover from that. But against a guy like Triple G or Canelo, I don't know if he recovers from that.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
What about, like you said, Andy Lee, Billy Joe Saunders? He said Daniel Jacobs is going. Now, Daniel Jacobs has also come out and said, too, he's not afraid to fight Triple G. He said he just wants the money to be fair.
Yeah.
You know?
No, but again, we've got to look at the political landscape here. And it looks like Golovkin has a deal with HBO. Are we going to run into the same problem as the Eddie Hearn of the USA has caused with the Kovalev-Stevenson fight? Kathy Duva. Are we going to have that same scenario with the middleweight scenario here, or where HBO and Showtime are, you know, on two different planes, and what's going to happen with that? You know.
Yeah, I wish and we'll talk about this story later on. And as Robbie brought up here, there may be some changes. There's some changes going on at HBO, which may open the door for Heyman to come in, and we'll talk about that later. But if that happens, then all these fights are possible.
Yeah.
At that point, you know, when you start, the networks are usually the big stumbling blocks.
Yeah.
To these fights happening.
Well, as I told you last week, Stevenson said live on Showtime. He told his representative, "Hey, tell the networks to work together. We want to fight in June." You know, yeah. Talking about Stevenson and Kovalev. So we'll see.
Stevenson. He's going to tell everybody what he want to hear. You know, who knows what's true?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Who knows? And he may have said it, doesn't make it, you know, happening, though.
Well, I watched the interview. He said it live on TV, so,
right.
You know.
You got to like that.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about the undercard here. Jesus Cuellar versus Jonathan Oquendo. This fight was just okay.
I picked this one wrong, too. I thought Oquendo would win this fight.
Cuellar, was it 116, 112, I believe?
Yep.
Let's see, threw 1,000 punches, something about 1,000 punches in a 12-round fight.
Yeah.
Cuellar, I mean, really was very busy in this whole fight. The final scores on this one were 116, 111 twice, and then 120, 107. What was the 120, 107? I didn't have it quite that wide.
that was a female judge, and I don't know what she was watching, because 116 to 111 was more appropriate, you know.
Yeah, I don't know what you, when I heard the score, I was like, what? You know, because I had around, you know, I had it 116, 117 right in there, but. Cuellar defends his title. He's moving up.
Yeah, and of course now he's in line to fight Leo Santa Cruz, Gary Russell, Abner Morris.
Said he wants Santa Cruz next. So
yeah,
that'd be
a lot of people want Leo, so Leo's got options.
Yeah, which is great. I mean, which is great for Cruz, man, because for a long time he was kind of the pariah of the division because he didn't want to fight anybody, or he claimed it was he didn't want to fight anybody, he's got. People coming out of the woodwork.
Well, now everybody wants to fight him, so
right.
We'll see who he chooses.
And I tell you what, I can't wait to see him fight again. He's one of my favorite fighters, man. He's just an action fighter, man.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be good. Let's talk about Chris Algieri, your boy, versus Eric Bonet. Bonet coming off his four-round loss to Sean Porter at less than 24 hours' notice. He took that fight and flew across country. So very game challenger, man. Chris Algieri defeated him via 10-round unanimous decision. This was a good fight, man. I tell you what, man, this was back and forth, and I had Bonet winning a lot of these rounds, and it was close up until that knockdown in the 8th round.
Yep.
You know, I watched that knockdown, and it was a body shot that knocked him down. clearly, to me, it looked like he was kind of off balance or moving away. And
well,
you know,
I think their feet got tangled up. I question whether it should have been a knockdown, but they called it one.
It was Chris Algieri's right foot and Bonet's left foot.
Yeah,
that he was along the ropes and he moved, and it. I don't know if he tripped that. Clearly, that body shot didn't put him down or hurt him. You know what
no.
I mean? It wasn't.
Look, Chris Algieri's not going to knock anybody down unless you got some help, because he only got 8 knockouts in 23 fights now or something like that. So,
yeah, the problem was, like I said, man, and the other thing, too, that kind of doomed Bonet was his conditioning. At the end, he looked really the worst for wear at the end.
Well, and he continues to say, well, I want to fight at 140. That's my weight class, but yet the PBC... now, 2 consecutive fights have had him fight at 147. So, you know,
the thing is, I mean, you know, I understand where he's coming from, but you know, it's not like he's fought slouches at 147. I mean, he's fought Chris Algieri, who's a good prospect, and he's fought a former champion, you know, and then he's fought Sean Porter, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, they're giving him good paydays, I'm sure.
Right. Well, and Chris Algieri has 2 more options left with the PBC, and from what I hear next for him, possibly in the spring, is Andre Berto.
Jeez, I don't want to see Berto fight anymore, man.
I don't want to see Berto fight anymore either. But I think it's a good fight for Algieri, because let's face it. Berto's not going to hurt Algieri, but Algieri's not going to hurt Berto.
I think that's the thing with Algieri. He can fight guys like that. You know what I mean? He can fight guys like that. Bigger names, you know, because Andre Berto's a bigger name, but he doesn't pose that much of a threat. So he can make his name off stuff like that and still, you know, collect paydays and stuff. But I'll tell you what, man, as soon as this guy steps up against some top-caliber competition, he's gone.
Oh, look, Manny Pacquiao proved that,
Right.
Pacquiao put him down 6 times, you know. I don't care. I mean, John David Jackson's a wonderful trainer, but the trainer can't fight for you. I don't mind seeing him against guys like Bonet, and I'm glad Eric got another opportunity. I hope he continues to get opportunities. But if I'm in Bonet's camp, if my fighter wants to fight at a certain weight class, then negotiate that in his contract. Don't force him to fight out of his division if he's not comfortable there.
I agree with that too, man. There's got to be a certain point where you say, "Hey, look, I mean," but it's got to be tough if you're Bonet, though. You know, I mean, it's got to be tough. This guy, you know, it's got to be tough for him because he's not, he's not very well known. You know, but he fought 2 top guys. You know, he's getting paid for it. You know, so would you rather fight some guy at 140 that nobody's ever heard of, and you may not be on PBC? Or fight at 147 where you're going to get national coverage, Showtime, NBC.
But if you fight other people at 147 and that's not your weight class and you continue losing, how many more times are you going to get on TV?
Yeah, that's true. Very
so,
true.
So, no, I would support the fighter in this case, because this is the second time he said, I'm fighting out of my weight class, but they're paying me for it, so I'll do it. And, Algieri wasn't going to seriously hurt him, and he didn't. But, now I got a question. I scored this 97-92, just like 2 of the judges. But, Julie Letterman, what the hell's wrong with you? 95-94? That means if the knockdown did not happen, we would have had a draw there. Right? Or she would have scored it for Bonet.
I think that a lot of people gave Bonet a lot of the early rounds.
Yeah.
And you could have really made the case that he won 4 of the first 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of where she was coming from on that. I didn't quite give him that many rounds. But, it was, because it was close. It depends on what you're looking for. You know what I mean? I didn't think Algeria was overly impressive, put it that way.
No.
You know?
But I say when the Christmas dinner happens at the Letterman household, dad needs to give daughter more instructions on how to score fights.
Robbie, getting on the women judges today, man.
Well, Robin Carr and Julie Letterman, what can I say? Robin Carr was the one that had it 120-107 in the other fight. So, I don't. Well, at least they're not as bad as Michelle Beadle. That's terrible.
Screw Michelle Beadle.
Jeez.
Yeah, nobody likes her.
Anyway.
I know I don't like her. All right, so let's talk about today, man. This just happened today in Thailand. That's how they do it on a Monday, Jack. I'm not ruined wrong. IBF flyweight champion retained his title via 12-round decision over Myung Hoo Lee on Monday in Thailand. Apparently it was a good fight. Went the distance, and Ruin Wrong knocked him down in the last round to punctuate everything, won by unanimous decision. I don't have the scores, but he retained his title, did so in pretty good fashion. So,
And I hope Chocolatito is next.
I do too, man. I want to see this fight. This guy's no joke, man. He's a good fighter.
Hey, he got rid of our Chinese headache. So
yeah, Robbie's boy, man, got rid of that guy.
I'm glad.
Yeah, this guy's legit, man. This guy's a legit fighter. I want to see him and Chocolatito go at it.
Yep.
And there's no real reason why they can't, you know.
Right.
Also this weekend, too, Johnny Gonzalez, former two-time two-division world champion, hammered out a 12-round unanimous decision over Hurricane Futa, whoever that is, who's 26-1, all right, to claim the WBC International Super Featherweight title. It's almost like pro wrestling. They have a title
Johnny,
for everything.
Hang it up.
Yeah. 119-104. My goodness.
119-109. How many knockdowns were there?
Yeah, I don't know.
Jeez,
well,
that's...
the one is 119-112.
Okay.
119-109 and then 119... Yeah, what in the world? This was from Mexico, from Sinaloa. Is the cartel running this show?
Did they smoke too much peyote or what here?
119-104 and then 119-112.
And what was the third card?
119-109.
Oh, now that sounds like the only normal card. 119-104. What the hell were you watching?
What in the world? How do you get 119-104?
Or 119-112.
Right. If there was no knockdowns, which it doesn't sound like there was.
I mean, because if a fight goes to distance and you scored 8-4, it's 116-112.
Right.
Well, where does the extra 3 points come in?
What, do you just have those rounds tied or something like that? 10-10?
Good God almighty.
What's going on in Mexico, son?
Jeez. Like I said, Johnny, retire.
Yeah, right. Well, I don't know. I mean, if you take those judges with you, you might be able to fight a couple more times.
Good God. Right. Okay, next.
All right, fights in Germany this weekend. WBA interim super welterweight champion, Golden Jack Colke, scored a 12-round unanimous decision over previously unbeaten Dennis the Hurricane Hogan in Hamburg, Germany. Scores of 117-111, 119-109, and 116-112, all for Colke. Now, why do I bring this up? Because after the fight, Colke called out WBA champion Arislandi Lara.
Congratulations to him. At least somebody wants to fight him.
Right. Great for him, man.
You know.
Also, too, in action, former heavyweight title challenger Kubrat Pulev, one who was knocked out by Klitschko, laid out Maurice Harris in the first round with a right hand to the body at 159. And also, too, former challenger Derek Chisora scored a 5th-round TKO over Peter Erdos.
Okay.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah.
All right. So tomorrow night, let's talk about the upcoming fights.
Okay.
PBC on Fox Sports.
Oh, tomorrow night. Okay, cool.
Yeah, Tuesday night.
That'll be Tuesday for those of you when you're hearing the show on Wednesday.
Juan Dominguez versus Yennefel Vicente, 10 rounds featherweights. And then Keith Tapia versus Garrett Wilson, 10 rounds cruiserweights.
Okay.
Whoever that is.
I don't know.
I have no idea either. And then, is it Friday the 11th? Yeah, Friday,
Friday the
11th. From Puerto Rico, True TV, Felix Verdejo. Everybody's talking about this guy.
Yeah.
Versus Josenilson Dos Santos.
And then
easy for me to say.
And then Nonito Donaire is also on that card.
Versus Cesar Juarez for the vacant WBO junior featherweight title.
And then Showbox is also on Friday.
Yeah, we got at Houston, Regis Prograis versus Abel Ramos, 10 rounds, junior welterweights. Bryant Cruz versus Darden Zemanudaj, 8 rounds, lightweights. Yeah, that's what I say.
There's supposed to be 4 fights on that card, from what I understand. So.
And then Ivan Baranchik versus Shadi Sharawayb.
Okay.
And then Steed Woodall. I want to be called Steed. Steed Woodall versus Steve Rolls, 8 rounds middleweights. Also,
oh, okay.
Too, on, I don't know, they'll probably, I don't know if they'll show it. DeMarcus Chop Chop Corley is still fighting, 10 rounds,
oh,
junior welterweight
God.
Against Valentin Holovko.
Where's that at?
On Showtime. It's on that card.
Oh, okay. Well,
how about that? I don't know if they'll show it or not, but he's on that
card. I doubt
card.
It, but okay.
Yeah, probably
and,
not.
And then on Saturday on NBC, we have the last NBC card of the year.
Yeah, good one too, man. Omar Figueroa versus Antonio DeMarco. And I can't wait for this one. This is going to be good. Dominic Brazil versus Charles Martin, 10 rounds heavyweights. Man, let me tell you what, I cannot wait for that fight. That is going to be good. Both of those guys are considered to be really up-and-comers. Charles Martin, really one of those guys that you don't hear about a lot. He's a good, good fighter. I cannot wait to see that fight.
Yeah, somebody's going to prove that they belong, and somebody's going to prove that they don't belong in this fight.
Absolutely. And then Chris Areola versus Travis Kaufman, 10 rounds heavyweights. And then Victor Ortiz back against Orlando Lara, 10 rounds welterweights.
Now, remember, for those of you that watch the NBC card, you probably won't see all these fights on NBC. So be sure to click over to NBC Sports because, you know, that's what they normally do on these. So whatever you don't see on NBC, set your DVR for NBC Sports because normally after the NBC portion is over, they'll show the other fights that you don't see on the main NBC card. So.
Right. Also on the card, also on the NBC Sports.net card, Terrell Gachet, former Olympian, versus my man, friend of the show, the man, Sid El Harak, 10 rounds, middleweights. Hey, I don't care. I'm rolling with Sid in this one. 10 rounds, upset. He's sending the Olympian home, buddy.
Yeah, and this is the dude that donates everything to charity, right?
No. That was Boyd Melson.
Okay.
Sid El-Harak, he's from London. He was relocated here from London.
Okay.
Really cool guy. Really cool
okay.
guy, man. He's friend
right.
of the show. You know,
all
he's
right.
friend of the show, son.
That's
show
right.
some respect.
That's right.
All
so,
right.
And then we have other, I think we have other fights this weekend, but those are all the U.S. fights, I think.
Well, no. We have one on Robbie's favorite station, HBO Latino.
Is that the Gabriel Rosado mess?
No.
Okay.
This is Pedro Campa versus Aaron Herrera, 10 rounds, junior welterweights, and then Sullivan Barrera versus Caro Murat, 12 rounds, an IBF heavyweight eliminator.
Okay.
And then, let's see here, on Unimas, Oscar Valdez versus Ernie Sanchez, 10 rounds, and Joseph Benavidez Jr. versus Sidney Siqueira, 10 rounds, welterweights. Jesse Hart, this guy's another one you got to watch, man. This guy's really good. Versus Andrick Salegui, 8 rounds, super middleweights. And I probably just butchered his last name.
Okay.
All right. And Tijuana on BN Sports in Spanish.
Oh,
Yasmin Rivas versus Catherine Fury, female bantamweight. So if you want
to. Oh, I wonder if she's related to Tyson.
Watch Chicks Throw Down, then there you go, on BN Sports this weekend.
Like I said, I wonder if she's related to Tyson there.
That's right.
The Gabriel Rosado mess is on the 19th on HBO Latino. That's what I was thinking.
Ah, gotcha.
Okay.
All right, now, across the pond, Saturday in London, the big one. This is the big fight of the weekend, man, believe it or not. This is the big fight, man. Anthony Joshua versus Dillon White, 12 rounds for Joshua's Commonwealth and vacant British heavyweight titles. Yeah.
And okay. Remember, he's number two ranked by the WBC.
You know, and I tell you what, they've been talking, they've been going nuts about this fight in Britain. I don't see anything that leads me to believe that Dillian White is going to beat Anthony Joshua. And everybody is hyping this up like this is his big-time money fight over there. I don't see anything that Dillian White brings to the table.
It's important to them, but it's not important to the rest of the boxing world.
It's not important to the rest of the world. Yeah, exactly, man. Mm-hmm. And then Kevin Mitchell versus Ismael Barroso, 12 rounds for the vacant WBA interim lightweight title. Also, okay. To Chris Eubank Jr. And he's going to fight Gary O'Sullivan, 12 rounds. And here's the deal, man. If you have not seen Chris Eubank Jr., tune in for no other reason, just to watch his father in the corner.
Yeah.
Just to watch Chris Eubank Sr. in the corner. Because
yeah,
Chris
he
Eubank
dresses
Sr.
in a tuxedo every fight.
Every time. This guy is dressed to the nines. Every time I see him. Every time I see him in an interview or whatever the case may be. He may be at the gym in an interview. He's always dressed to the hilt, man.
Wow.
I mean, the guy is GQ ready all the time.
Right.
I wish I could talk
like that.
And also,
believe
man,
it or not,
that sharp all the time.
But believe it or not, folks, Paulie Malignaggi's on that card in London.
Gianluca Bronco versus, and he's out. He's actually out. I read that it won't be. He's going to fight. Malignaggi's going to fight. It won't be Gianluca Bronco. It's going to be somebody else.
Okay.
But and I can't remember who it is. But for the European title or something like that.
Yeah. I'll never forget on Saturday night. It's like, hey, bring back that European title, man. And I'm like,
right.
What? Are you kidding me? You know, it's like,
exactly. UK Olympian gold medalist Luke Campbell is on there also versus Yvonne Mendy. 12 rounds for lightweights. Wow.
Okay. The best line of the night came from Danny Jacobs' son. Did you hear that?
No.
He said, I want you to beat the chocolate out of Quillen.
Yes, I did hear that. That's right. Yeah, that was great.
It's like, oh, my God.
That's so great.
I'm thinking to myself, don't teach your son to be racist, dude.
He's going to knock the chocolate out of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, kid chocolate boy. Disappointing end. Now, I read this weekend that Roy Jones was supposed to be fighting in Moscow. I don't see him on the list. I don't see him on any list. But I read that he's going to be fighting in Moscow non-title. The guy that he's going to fight is the WBA is the current WBA cruiser champion, but it's not going to be sanctioned or light heavyweight champion. Or he's not sanctioned or something like that, so it's not going to go down. So the fight will happen, but I don't have any record of it, but I'll let you know who wins. I'm sure it'll be out there.
Yeah, well, Roy's got to use his Russian citizenship now, so, you know.
Yeah, right? Yeah, right? Exactly.
Okay.
So that's the fights this weekend, man.
Yep.
So let's move along to our history lesson now, man, and we call this Death by a Thousand Left Hands.
Oh, man. And this retired the Golden Boy.
Absolutely. December 6, 2008, Manny Pac-Man Pacquiao versus Oscar De La Hoya. And let me tell you what, when this fight was made, I considered this to be a giant mismatch, as did most people that I knew about anyway.
Everybody kept saying, oh my God, De La Hoya is going to kill him, you know.
Yeah.
Ridiculous
size advantage.
Yeah.
You know, it was one of those fights, you know, De La Hoya got a ton of backlash for this. Pacquiao was a smaller fighter by far, by three weight classes, and no way this fight was going to be competitive. Well, we were right, sort of. You know?
Yeah.
Pacquiao had to step up two weight classes from lightweight, and De La Hoya had to come down one weight division. So he was at 135. De La Hoya was at 154, and they met at 147.
Yeah.
How on earth did anybody even think about this? I mean, why? It still baffles me to this day that this fight was even made. Because I said, you know, are you kidding me? I mean, you talk about somebody beating up on somebody smaller. I mean, really?
Are you baffled because this fight was being made because of the size difference, or now are you baffled because of the way it turned out?
I was baffled at the size difference.
Okay.
Because, you know, when I saw that, I was like, seriously, this can't happen, man, really? I said, can they really make this fight when they're 20 pounds apart like that? You know, I mean, this just doesn't make any sense. Why is he even doing this? Rumor has it that De La Hoya was actually set to face Cotto. If Cotto would have got, it was between Pacquiao and Cotto, and if Cotto would have got past Margarito in his cement-filled gloves, he would have got the next opportunity at De La Hoya. Turns
right.
out he didn't survive the cement gloves, so
no.
It was Pacquiao that goes up. So, you know, I remember when this fight started, the fight finally came here and fight started. The fight was completely one-sided. I can't even express to you how one-sided it was. After the first two rounds, you knew there was no way Oscar was going to win this fight. Pacquiao was so fast and moved so well that he made this fight look extremely easy.
Yeah, he did.
This was a guy that just a few fights before took Floyd Mayweather to a decision. I'm speaking of Mayweather, or not Mayweather, but De La Hoya now. Took Mayweather to a decision, a disputed decision at that. A lot
yeah.
of people thought, you know, hey, that fight was a little, you know, I thought he might have took that fight, you know.
Yeah.
To see that and then watch him get torn apart so easily by this guy who was three weight classes below him, you know, was just mind-blowing, you know. And this was really what started the whole Pacquiao-Mayweather thing, because I believe that if Pacquiao would have fought Mayweather then, after De La Hoya and right, you know, a few shortly after that fight, I think we may have saw a different fight, man. I really do.
Oh, I know. And, of course, this launched Manny Pacquiao to ultimate superstardom.
Superstar.
And he dominated the 147 division, and everybody kept thinking, he's too small. But every time he got in there, he kept winning.
I mean, he's beating guys like Cotto and Margarito. I mean, he was just demolishing those guys.
Yeah.
After he beat De La Hoya, the way he beat him, his movement in that fight, the way he threw his hands, his movement, his defense, his offense, everything, I would have put him in the ring against Mayweather and we would have found out who the champ was. You know, I don't know who would have won that fight.
Well, and see, the sad part about
man.
It is they both avoided each other for so long. By the time it happened, well, we know what happened. And
yeah, I mean, they were both past their prime. Pacquiao a little more so, you know.
Yeah.
During this fight, Manny Pacquiao was completely having his way with De La Hoya, winning virtually every round throughout the fight. During the fight, HBO commentator Larry Merchant stated, as Pacquiao landed one left hand after another, death by a thousand left hands. And that was pretty accurate.
Oh, yeah. I miss Larry Merchant. Max Kellerman is no Larry Merchant, I'll tell you that.
No, I used to like Max Kellerman, too. I was never a really big Merchant fan. But I used to like Max Kellerman, but he's such a homer now.
Yeah.
You know, when I listen to him and stuff like that, I mean, it's all like... he's always for the house fighter. And you know, when you listen to him and he makes these comments, that's not how he really feels. Because I've seen him in interviews talk, you know, logically about things.
Yeah.
You know, and I've seen him off HBO, but I guess he's got to be a homer for them or something. But if you're going to do that, why do it, you know?
But Larry Merchant was never a homer for HBO fight.
You say a lot of things about him, but no, he was definitely not a homer.
No.
Sure.
And
Freddy Pacheco was another one that, you know, he would tell it like it is, man.
That's right. Larry still gives great interviews, and he's still following the sport, and
yeah.
he's got very good opinions, so, you know, what can I tell you? I wish there was another one like him, because Max ain't it.
No.
You know?
No, not the way HBO's currently got him, man, that's for sure. Like I said, I've seen him on other interviews and stuff like that, and doing interviews around here and there. And he's nothing like he is on HBO. He's a complete homer on HBO.
Well, and I remember first seeing Max Kellerman on ESPN. He was nothing like he is now.
No. Teddy, I heard him and Teddy Atlas didn't get along. I'm not sure if that's true or not. But
I don't think they did, because remember when Max was interviewing Teddy during the Bradley fight? Teddy basically answered his questions and basically, okay, get out of here, Max, you know.
Love Teddy Atlas, boy. Love Teddy Atlas.
Yep.
Anyway, back to the Pacquiao fight. The fight was actually stopped at the start of the ninth round when De La Hoya could not answer the bell. Pacquiao was ahead on all three cards before the stoppage, with two judges scoring the fight 80-71.
Mm-hmm. And, that means no rounds for Oscar.
And let me tell you what, I don't know where, 79-72, which means Pacquiao lost a round. I would love to see what round he lost. You know,
yeah, really?
I don't know what fight that you could. I couldn't even, you know, you couldn't even give a round to De La Hoya if you wanted to.
No.
After the bout, Freddie Roach stated, "We knew we had him after the first round. He had no legs. He was hesitant about, you know, he was hesitant. And he was shot." Confirming Roach's pre-fight predictions that he'd grown too old. De La Hoya crossed the ring to Pacquiao's corner after the fight and stopped and told Roach, he said, "You're right, Freddie, I don't have it anymore." When asked by reporters whether he would continue fighting, De La Hoya responded, "You know, my heart still wants to fight, that's for sure, but when your physical doesn't out-respond," he said, "what can you do?" He said, "I have to be smart and think about my future plans."
Yep.
And he's right. And,
Course, his future plans turned out to be Golden Boy Promotions.
So. Yeah, which has done pretty well for him.
Now that he's running the company himself.
Yeah, he's off of coke. He's not dressing in women's clothes anymore. And,
That's right.
Pretty well for him.
Okay.
Hey, it is what it is.
And not treating his family very well, by the way. I mean, De La Hoya on ring, Diego De La Hoya on ring TV. Come on.
De La Hoya, get it together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
He's trying to keep everything for himself. Get it together.
There you go.
All right, let's move on to the fantasy fights for this week.
And we got some good ones here.
Good ones this week, man. Yeah. Let's start off with the big one, man. Pernell Whitaker. He's our number two seed.
Yep.
Pernell Whitaker versus Ray Boom Boom Mancini. I think, I tell you, in this fight, this is a good one because Ray Mancini puts all kinds of pressure on you.
Yep.
The problem I have, though, is that Ray Mancini does have trouble with boxers.
Yep, and who was one of the best boxers in this division?
Yeah.
Sweet Pea himself. I know you're an Ohio guy, but I don't think Ray advances here. I think Sweet Pea wins a rather lopsided, unanimous decision.
Yeah, well, I think you're wrong because I'm taking Ray Boom Boom Mancini because he's from Ohio.
Okay.
He's got to go to the computer. Computer, what's he say? Computer says Whitaker by decision.
Absolutely.
So we're going to have a split decision. I don't care. He's from Ohio. I'm taking
that's
it.
Right. See?
Game.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, my wife just said, "You're like Max Kellerman. You're a homer."
There you go.
Who asked you, all right?
Oh.
All right. So let's talk about the next one, man. A good one. Henry Armstrong versus Sean O'Grady.
Now, I've seen Sean O'Grady fight, and of course, Henry Armstrong was way before my time. But everything I heard about Armstrong, he was good. But I don't know. I don't know how you judge this one. So
I think the thing is, I saw Armstrong fight on YouTube and stuff like that, and I've seen a couple of his fights and stuff like that. And I think he does have – I mean, Sean O'Grady was a really good fighter.
Yes, he was.
A very underrated fighter.
A very good commentator, too, by the way.
He absolutely was.
Yeah.
But he was very underrated, too, as a boxer. But with Henry Armstrong, I mean, you're talking about a legend here, man. And the fights I saw Armstrong in, he could fight. I mean, he could fight somewhat modern day. I don't know if Henry Armstrong has enough to get through the tournament with all the modern fighters. But I think he has enough to get past Sean O'Grady.
I would have to agree with that just because I know Sean left everything in the ring, but I don't know if he could deal with a living legend there, so to speak.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm taking Henry Armstrong in this one.
Yeah, I think the computer will make a unanimous decision here.
And yeah, the computer does. Computer takes Henry Armstrong as well.
Okay.
All right. So Pernell Whitaker advances. Number two seed advances. Henry Armstrong advances. Joel Casamayor is next on our list here. He's going to face Hector Macho Camacho. This is a good one, man. This is a really, really good one.
Well, I like both fighters here, but I think if I had to pick and choose, I think I would take the Macho Man here.
I think the fight that stands out to me was with Casamayor was the Asselino Freitas fight.
Oh yeah, that was probably his best fight.
And he lost the fight.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and given the fact that Asselino was so quick, and I think that Camacho had that type of speed, not that type of boxing ability, but he had that type of speed.
Yeah.
You know, where Freitas just didn't stop moving. He was constantly moving around the ring.
That's right.
You know.
So, no, I think Camacho wins this here.
I do, too, because Camacho had power, especially at the lightweight, man. He could put you away.
Uh-huh.
I like Camacho in this one, and yep. Computer is going to make it unanimous. Computer took Camacho also.
Okay.
All right. The next one, Bazooka Limon. And you remember his famous bouts with Bobby Chacon and all them?
Oh, yes.
Good fighter out of Mexico. He's going to fight Joe Gans. Now, Joe Gans is like a legend, man. This guy, you know, every top 10 list I've saw has got him on there, you know, as far as lightweights go. Now, I never saw him fight.
No,
but I watched some YouTube of him. Here's the deal. Joe Gans is a, 1900 fighter. You know, he's from the 1900s. He was born in 18-something.
So I don't think he does well against the modern fighter. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, from what I saw, he doesn't actually fight like the 20s, the backwards fist kind of 20, when you think of like 20-style boxing, that kind
right,
of thing.
Right.
And he had a 71-inch reach, which he was able to use pretty effectively for a lightweight, which is a huge reach for a lightweight.
Yes, it is.
Bazooka Limon, he always got into wars,
I'll never forget his Bobby Chacon fight.
Oh, woo. Man. Wow, those were off the hook, man. I'm going to take Joe Gans in this one.
I'll take Simone because I've seen him fight.
So, yeah. All right, so we got to go to the computer. The computer, incidentally, took Gans by KO.
Oh. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So, and it had it hit Gans rated pretty high.
All right. Okay.
Now, whether I don't know how far he goes in the tournament. I'll be real honest. I don't know how far he goes in the tournament, but that 71-inch reach, he had a huge reach, man. And but he was very sloppy fighter combined to today's standards.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly he probably could have knocked me out. But I mean, well, by today's standards,
we'll advance him, and he'll probably lose in the next round.
Right. Through. Right.
Yeah. Well,
there
we go.
Out of sheer respect, all right. Just out of sheer respect, we're going to advance him because that's how we do things here.
That's right.
All right, so let's take a look at the brackets for next week.
Okay.
All right. Let's see here. All right. So Pernell Whitaker advances.
Yep.
He is going to fight in the round of 16. He will end up fighting Henry Armstrong.
Okay. Oh, that'll be an interesting match.
Absolutely. Hector Camacho advances to the round of 16. He will be fighting Joe Gans.
Okay.
Next
well,
week,
like I said, he might lose that one, but we'll see.
Yeah. Next week, Edwin Rosario versus Battling Nelson. Diego Corrales versus Lou Ambers.
Okay.
Shane Mosley versus Barney Ross. How about that one?
Okay.
And then Freddie Welch versus Benny Leonard.
Okay.
So, yeah, we got some good ones. Got
so
some good ones coming up.
Stay tuned next week.
Yeah. And then once that's done, then our round of 16 will be, then that we will have our full brackets for the round of 16.
Yep.
And that should be good.
There you go. So, is it train wreck of the week time?
Almost. We're almost to the train.
Okay.
Robbie's favorite portion of the podcast. We are
well,
almost
hey,
there.
This week it's... The Adrian Broner Award is justly deserved,
absolutely.
I think.
There you go. Yeah. All right, so our news and rumors today. Let's go, champ. Deontay Wilder. Still doesn't have a dance partner. January, he's fighting.
Yep.
Shannon Briggs.
And I've also heard Steve Cunningham, but the name that Showtime wants, and apparently the name that Wilder wants, is Glasgow. And... there is one big problem standing in the way. The Eddie Hearn of the USA, Miss Kathy Duva.
I'm hearing, now, Deontay Wilder has told TMZ, he said that if Shannon Briggs can pass a drug test and prove he's not on steroids, he's in. Look, I kind of have a problem with this. I mean, what kind of nonsense is this? All of a sudden, we can just call people out based on absolutely nothing? I don't understand that. I mean, this is like the Mayweather approach when everyone in his camp was calling out Pacquiao for using steroids.
Yeah.
They had no proof of it. Nobody even mentioned it. Why would you even mention if Briggs is on roids?
Well, look, I'll be honest with you. I know nobody wants to see Shannon Briggs on TV, so, But for Wilder to say that, that's kind of stupid. Come on, champ.
I mean, you know, we don't want to see Briggs on TV.
Yeah.
But every casual fan out there wants to see Briggs on TV. I guarantee that. He gets a lot of run, man.
Yeah.
Everybody loves this guy.
But, like Kathy Duva, it was supposed to be Glasgow.
And Glasgow, from what I'm understanding, is he was supposed to fight Glasgow. Glasgow backed out and took another fight, leaving Wilder without an opponent.
Well, I don't know if he's got another fight. That was a rumor, but I haven't heard that another fight has been signed or scheduled or what have you. Apparently she wanted more money for her client. And, every time the PBC tries to put on a show, it seems like Kathy Duva has got to stick her nose in where it doesn't belong. Now, look, I know she's a good promoter and trying to stick up for her clients, but I'm getting a little sick of her, to be honest with you.
Yeah, she's stopping a lot of good fights from happening, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So it'll be real interesting to see. What do you think about a Wilder-Briggs match?
I'd want Deontay to finish business rather quickly.
Do you think, as far as names go, that's the best name? I mean, who's going to want to see Glasgow? You know, I mean, we would want to see Glasgow. But, I mean, do you think people are, it's a viable,
well, as far I as think, the gate goes? I think Glasgow has earned the shot because he's beaten everybody he's supposed to beat.
Right, he's fought live guys. But what I'm saying is, gate-wise, when you go to the gate, who would you rather pay for? Would you rather pay to see, you know, Glasgow, or would people are going to see the Briggs?
People would pay to see Briggs, but also another name that was mentioned possibly is Steve Cunningham. And, of course, Glasgow already beat Cunningham.
Right.
So, Steve Cunningham does not deserve that shot over Glasgow. So, you know.
But if Glasgow did take another fight, as suspected.
Yeah, if he took another fight, then I guess we have to see Channing Briggs, and my hope is it ends quickly. I know the casual fans will want to see him on TV, but I don't want to see him on our TV.
Yeah, he's been I tell you what, man, Briggs has been very very good about promotion, following Klitschko around everywhere.
Well, now
Klitschko keeping active. In the sense of fighting, you know, complete stiffs, you know, in countries that, you know, like in Panama, where they don't care who gets, you know, they'll certify anybody to fight. Yeah.
I wonder, is Shannon Briggs going to continue to follow Tyson Fury around?
I haven't heard him, Fury's name come out of Briggs' mouth once.
No.
So,
but now Fury has all the belts, so, you know.
But, you know, Wilder, I tell you what, Wilder has, to me, the most meaningful belt. I mean, to me, he's the champion. He's always been the champion, even with Klitschko.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens, man. But I hope Briggs gets a shot, and because he's been very good about promoting himself. He's been very good. He's a promoter's dream. You know, because I don't have to promote the fight. I could just say, hey, Briggs is fighting. Come over there, act like an idiot, and he's going to be fine. He's going to do his thing.
Shannon Briggs is the anti-Adrian Broder. He'll talk to everybody. He'll put his face all over everywhere.
Right.
He'll even come on this show if we ask him.
That's right.
I mean, come on.
Everybody comes on this show.
Yeah, he would.
Yeah, absolutely would.
I mean, especially if he hooks up with the PBC, all we have to do is make a phone call, we have an interview. I mean, come on.
That's how it goes. That's how we do it here at Ringside Reporter.
That's right. As a hardcore fan, no, I don't want to see that, but right. I know the casual fans do, so maybe they get their wish.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing it. I wouldn't mind seeing it. I mean, who knows? I mean, who knows what happens, but, you know. Yeah. I wouldn't mind.
Kathy Duva needs to start allowing her clients to fight people, for God's sakes.
I agree.
Or get out of the business.
You know, Stevenson and Kovalev could have happened if it wasn't for Kathy Duva.
That's right.
And Kovalev was going to make more. From what I understood, Kovalev was going to make more money on free TV on that whole thing. Take all the belts, and then take all the belts, and then go back.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then go back to HBO or wherever it is he came from with all the belts. It was a stupid move. It was just a dumb move.
Yeah, no. That's why her and Eddie Hearn should hook up, I swear. They'd make a perfect couple.
Absolutely.
Anyway, you know.
or Frank, who was it, Frank Maloney? Was that the guy that became a woman?
Frank Warren.
Was it Frank Warren that became a woman or something like that?
I
thought it was Maloney that became a chick.
He pulled a
Bruce Jenner and became a chick, man. That's
okay,
crazy.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that's what he did.
That's all we need is more Caitlyns in the world.
Yeah, I saw that spread, man. She's not too bad.
I know.
Speaking of Caitlyn Jenner, man, let's move on to our train wreck of the week, man.
Oh, yeah. This is just we had some good candidates, but this took the cake.
All right. So Floyd Mayweather's in Russia, a la Roy Jones. Who knows if he's going to get citizenship now or not? Who knows? Floyd Mayweather's very beloved in Russia, by the way, man. I saw this video. He's in the ring. So he's – yes, what is he doing in Russia? Yeah, apparently he's supposed to be he's stopped in Moscow to set a world record for boxing training. It was supposed to be like the most people training at once. Who cares?
Okay.
Who cares what it was? But he was in the ring, right? He was in the ring, and he had like this painting. It was a painting of him, it was like a portrait of him or something like that.
Right.
And I guess they raffled it off. Some fan got it. And the guy started crying in the ring when he got it. He was so taken aback, real emotional or whatever. They love him in Russia, man. That's why Roy Jones moved over there, because they love him over there.
Okay.
You know, you get no love over here.
Russian Roy, okay.
That's right. We're a Russian Money May now.
Yeah.
Ruple Roy,
yeah.
I guess
yeah.
Russian Ruples now.
Yeah.
All right. So while he was in Russia, he decided, hey, why not just pick up a tiger while I'm here? Yeah, you heard that right. A tiger. A tiger. The tiger is from India. Mayweather claims he received this as a Christmas present. As you can imagine, this didn't sit too well with PETA, the People for Ethical Treatment of Animals. Mayweather, as they came out and gave a statement, says Mayweather can have anything he wants, and what he should want to do is end the wild animal trade, not be a facilitator of it. Tigers do poorly as pets. They belong. You think? Tigers do poorly as well. Who could have saw that coming? Yeah, because I like getting eaten up by my pets, They belong in their native habitats, not in a cage in a celebrity's home.
That's correct.
Wild animals kept as amusements never have a fighting chance at a natural life. PETA has appealed to Floyd Mayweather to be real life and allow his Christmas present to be moved to a wildlife sanctuary.
Okay, well, we are talking about Floyd. Anything's possible.
A tiger.
Yeah.
A tiger.
I mean, how in the hell do you clear that through customs? That's what I want to know.
I'm just going to bring my tiger back. Yeah, who does that?
I've flown to Canada, Eric, and even in Canada, you have to clear customs. They ask you, are you declaring anything? You've got a whole process you've got to go through.
Did you bring a tiger back from Canada?
No, but my point is, how in the hell do you... Do you fly into a major U.S. airport, and how would you like to be the customs agent? Oh, hello, Floyd, anything to declare? Yes, a tiger. It's like, what?
Yeah, my pet tiger right here. Who are you, Tony Montana? What do you need a tiger for?
He's not Jack Hanna, for God's sake.
Yeah, seriously. What kind of training do you have to be able to take care of a tiger? I can barely take care of my dogs, all right, let alone a tiger. Yeah, how much those things eat? What do they? They eat like raw steaks and stuff, or animals? I mean, what do you need a tiger? Can you even train a tiger? That tiger trains you.
I mean, what was it? Last week he spent $50,000 on Thanksgiving, and now this week he gets a tiger. God, he is definitely going to have a 50th fight.
Bankruptcy right around the corner for Floyd Mayweather. What are you going to do if this thing takes a dump in the house? You're going to be forced to clean that up. What are you going to rub its nose in it? You're not even going to touch that thing. That thing's
gonna
kill
you. He's got people working for him that'll be stuck with that mess.
That's true. Very true.
God. I mean, and with all the women he's got hanging around him, do you think the women are going to want to hang around you when they see that?
Who knows, man? I guess that indoor swimming pool takes care of most of that stuff, but I don't know. I'll tell you what, man. I can't even fathom having a tiger as a pet. I just can't. I'm allergic to most dogs, I mean, can you even be allergic to cats? I mean, but what do you do with this thing? I mean, hey, look, I've been to the circus. I've taken my kids to the circus. And, I've seen those videos where those tigers and those lions get out of control. You know?
It's not good. It's not good, I'll tell you that.
They showed a picture of when Mike Tyson apparently had a tiger, too, and he had him on a leash. Like, I mean, seriously? If that thing decides to climb a tree, you're in trouble, son.
Yeah. No. Come on, Floyd.
What are you doing?
Next year, 2016, he's doing so many stupid things, he's going to have a 50th fight.
Yeah, 50 grand on Thanksgiving and then buying a tiger and, yeah. All right.
What do you have planned for next week, Floyd?
Oh, I can't wait. He needs his own reality show is what he needs.
Oh, God.
All right, so let's talk about Manny Pacquiao. He's kind of been off the grid. But things are starting to heat up now because his bout on April 9th, he's going to have a fight on April 9th that's being reported. But now it's being reported, now we've heard a ton of names here. We've heard Crawford, we've heard Amir Khan, but the Philippine Star newspaper has reported that Manny Pacquiao has made a choice for his next opponent, and it will be Tim Bradley. Who wants to see this fight again?
First of all, can Teddy Atlas bring out more firemen?
Yeah, I tell you what, you know, nothing is written in stone just yet from what I'm understanding, but they're reporting it does sound legit. I mean, you know, I don't understand this. I really don't. If Bradley is indeed his next opponent, he's beat him twice already. What do you need to fight a third time for? Because he beat him the first time.
Yeah, no, in the record books it says 1-1, but we real boxing fans know it's 2-0. Congratulations to Timothy. You beat Brandon Rios, but you do not, and I can't say this enough, you do not deserve a third shot with Manny Pacquiao. The man that deserves the shot is the man from Omaha, Nebraska. I mean, that would be the perfect passing of the torch.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what, Manny? You might lose that fight, but, you know, I'd rather see you lose to a guy that deserves that fight than to see you beat up somebody you've already beaten twice.
You know, and who knows? I mean, who knows about, you know, if Tim Bradley wins or loses that fight? I mean, who cares? You know, the thing is, I mean, who knows how much Pacquiao's got left after that Mayweather fight? He didn't look all that great there.
No.
You know, so who knows what he has left? I don't know, but that's a fight I don't want to see.
No. I want to see Terrence Crawford get that shot. I don't want Amir Khan, and I don't want Timothy Bradley.
No.
And besides, Timothy Bradley, you have a mandatory you got to deal with, son. His name is Saddam Ali.
Yeah, really. Why don't you focus on him, you know?
Yeah.
That leaves, you know, if Pacquiao does take Tim Bradley or Terrence Crawford, that pretty much leaves Amir Khan out in the cold.
Well,
you know?
It's justifiably deserved. He doesn't know how to keep his damn mouth closed.
Right. Khan has stated that if the Pacquiao fight falls through, which we think that it might, he'll negotiate with Kell Brook finally. Khan has got to be the most frustrated man in boxing right now.
Well, Eric, he put himself in this position because you don't hear other fighters when fights are being negotiated on social media or giving interviews and saying this and saying that. I mean, other fighters keep their mouths closed. Like, for example, you don't see Sean Porter and Keith Thurman talking about their fight because it's still being negotiated. They're keeping it quiet.
Well, actually, no. Kenny Porter's all over the videos and everything like that, interviews saying that Thurman doesn't want to fight us, Thurman this, Thurman that.
Well, that's Kenny. That, you know,
yeah.
I mean, he's just trying to keep his son's name out there, but you don't see the two fighters actually doing it. That's my point.
Right, that's true, very true.
You know, I mean, it's okay. It's okay with me if the trainers do it, if, you know, if the managers do it, if the promoters do it, you know. But I mean, he's got nobody else to blame here but himself.
Right.
That's the way I see it.
Yeah, he talked himself out of the Mayweather fight. That's what Mayweather and his camp said. Said that they were going to give him a shot. He said it was all good, all ready to go, and he wouldn't shut up. He wouldn't shut up about it. Every time they got close, he would leak out the details, and, you know, and they knew it was him because he's on camera saying it, you know.
Yeah, and I think that happened here with Manny. I mean, Manny realized, look, we're not going to be able to put this together because every time we negotiate something, he tells the world, you know.
Right. Yeah, I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, he was all over the news saying, yeah, I'm going to fight him next, this, and this, and, you know, dude, just shut up.
You know, I hope Cal Brook beats the hell out of him, and we don't have to see Amir Khan. I'm getting sick of the way he does things.
I want to see Cal Brook fight a live body, and not that he hasn't been. I want to see him step up in competition.
Well, Amir Khan
is definitely a step up in competition.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know.
All right, so let's talk about, now you brought something up to me before the show, and I want you to talk about this. Peter Nelson will be taking over HBO Sports, and tell us who he is and who he's taking over for and why is this significant?
Well, he's been working at HBO, so they kept the promotion in-house, but he's going to be taking over for Ken Hirschman, effective in January, because Hirschman was, in my opinion, forced out the door. And again, this is just my opinion. You know, I think HBO wants to get in on the PBC pie. And Hirschman, for whatever reason, did not want to work with Al Heyman. And I think, I could be all wet about this. I could be, talking,
sure,
through my head here. But I honestly think the reason why Hirschman was forced out, and I think he was forced out, I don't think he left on his own, I think HBO wants to get involved in what everybody else has been getting involved in and having PBC shows.
Why? Yeah, why not? I don't understand why Hirschman would, it seems silly to me that anybody would not want to negotiate with Al Heyman. What's your speculation on this as far as why he would not want to, negotiate with Al Heyman?
I don't know. I know Ross Greenberg, when Ross Greenberg had HBO for all them years, Ross Greenberg worked with Heyman constantly and gave Heyman all kinds of deals that nobody in boxing really approved of. And when Hirschman took over for Greenberg, that was one of the first things he said. We are never having another Al Heyman fighter on our network.
Wow.
Do I question a lot of things that the PBC does? Yes. But I also think it's good for boxing. Is there too much boxing on TV? Some people are saying that, but I don't agree.
No.
I'm a junkie. I don't need boxing rehab. You can feed my addiction, man.
There's football on every day of the week.
Yeah.
I mean, there's football literally every day of the week on TV. You can find a game. Basketball the same way.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, we don't have boxing every day of the week.
No, but if Al Heyman has his way, we might.
Yeah, right.
I
mean, well, what's the big deal? I guess that's my point is, why is there, and I hear that same argument, well, they're going to saturate it. No, they're not. There's fights all the time, and there's baseball on TV every night. Oh, my God, don't even start on baseball.
If people show up in front of their TV sets and they get good ratings, why the hell not,
I'll tell you what, speaking of baseball, that should have been the Cincinnati Reds should be the train wreck of the week in baseball. How about that?
Well, there's going to be a lot going on, and from what I'm hearing, you're not going to be happy. So
ridiculous. They ought to be a minor league team now.
Yeah.
Minor League Reds. That's who they are.
You know
what I'm going to do? I'm going to start rooting for the Cleveland Indians is what I'm going to have to do.
My team's not spending any money either, so it's all right.
Now, you guys, what are you, the A's?
Yeah.
Your team, the A's?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'll root for the A's now.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
But at least they're honest about their financial restraints. I don't know what the Reds,
Yeah, the Reds, dealing everybody. Del Chapman today. Johnny Cueto.
Support your Cincinnati Bengals. They're 10-2.
Super Bowl bound, and the 10-2 Bengals. You know what? I'm not going to say anything about the Bengals. Last time I did, they lost. I'm done. I'm getting the closing mouth sign by my wife.
We can't say
anything about them other than that they reside in Cincinnati. That's that. It's done.
Yeah. Eric knows how to take that O away from somebody. All he's got to do is talk about him.
That's right. That's right. I ruined more perfect records. Ruined more perfect records than a broken needle, son.
That's right.
All right. So, now let's. We're on the subject of Cincinnati. Let's talk about our boy, Adrian Bronner. His next defense, it is being reported by Sky Sports that Adrian Bronner will defend his title against. Are you ready? This is the mega fight that everybody has been waiting for to see if Bronner is going to take it to the next level. He is going to face.
And he actually called it out after the fight.
Ashley Theophane.
Yeah.
Ashley Theophane.
And who is Ashley promoted by? The train wreck of the week.
Floyd Mayweather. Ashley Theophane.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ashley Theophane. That's him, yeah. Ranked number 45.
Yep.
Not even in the top 15.
Nope.
In the WBA. Not even in the top 15 in any of the sanctioning bodies.
And they're going to put it in Atlanta.
Including the WBO. Not in the top 15. Not even there.
And they're going to put it in Atlanta.
Who does that? Who calls that guy out?
Adrian the Problem Bronner.
Wow. Come on, man. Really? Robbie, tell me I'm being punked here. Tell me this ain't happening, right? He's fighting somebody of substance?
No, this is definitely happening, and I think it's an utter joke.
Yeah, so it's going to take place in Atlanta. Yeah, right? What do they think they're going to sell out the Georgia Dome with this fight?
He couldn't even sell
out U.S. Bank with his last fight. That was a title fight.
I don't know. Look at what happened to a few fighters that have been in Atlanta. So, you know, that's all I can say.
Yeah. Ugh. Unbelievable. So, and I don't know where it's going to take place in Atlanta. It's going to be next year, and frankly, who cares?
Yeah. It'll probably be on our TV sometime.
Yeah. Yeah, probably will. Aerosmith loves Tyson Fury. The lead guitarist for Aerosmith, Joe Perry, said that he loved Tyson Fury's rendition of I Don't Want to Miss a Thing. He said, I thought it was great. He said it was a real honor to hear him sing it. Diane Warren, a friend of ours who wrote it, must have done a backflip. So they were very very thrilled to hear that.
Yeah, no, a classy guy. He did what he had to do, and guess what? They're doing it again, folks. Like we told you, they're going to do it again.
Yeah, Klitschko Fury 2 coming up. Vladimir Klitschko has decided to take up the contractual option for his rematch against Tyson Fury, following his defeat in Dusseldorf last week.
I guarantee you, this is headed for Wembley Stadium, and 80,000 seats will be filled. And this time, it'll be a Fury crowd, not a Klitschko crowd.
Yeah, that crowd was quiet last time, boy. Yeah.
And we'll see what song he busts out if he wins again, huh?
Funny thing is that Joe Perry said also, too, he said, to belt it out like that, he said, talk about being in shape. He said, my hat's off to him, you know. Yeah, you're right, yeah. I mean, because, you know, he just fought 12 rounds, so.
Yeah.
Well, fought is kind of a strong word for what happened there. But, I mean, he didn't throw a lot of punches, so he was definitely conserved his energy.
like I said, if he wins again, we'll see what song he busts out this time. Hello?
Okay, sorry about that. Can you hear me now? All right.
Now I can. What happened there?
I'm not sure what happened. I think I got muted here.
Okay.
I muted myself. Yeah. Usually I'm muting you.
We're talking about Aerosmith, and Eric didn't like it, so he muted himself.
I just cut him out.
Right.
I don't like Aerosmith. I just cut him out. That's it.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
All right.
So last topic here, Jermaine Taylor. A very sad topic here. Former middleweight boxing champion Jermaine Taylor on Tuesday entered a guilty plea in an Arkansas state court to felony charges stemming from three separate cases and is set to face sentencing in April of 2016. Taylor, who's now 37, had earlier indicated that he would contest the charges, which include shooting and wounding a cousin in 2014 near the boxer's home in suburban Little Rock. Taylor pleaded guilty to 9 counts each, of which is a D-class felony under Arkansas law. Each count is punishable by 0 to 6 years in prison, prosecutors said. I don't know, legally what happens to him at this point. 9 counts, class D felonies, though.
If you go by that, that's 54 years.
Yeah, he's not going to see that, though.
What I'd like to see happen, because I think he's got mental issues here, I think he needs to be confined to a mental institution for whatever sentence they give him and make sure that he gets the help that he needs. I think that would be the best thing to do here.
I think so, too. I tell you, man, this is sad. I think he'll see some time out of it. I don't know. I don't think he sees 54 years, obviously. But it's just sad to see where he came from, you know, and what he did in boxing and then to end up
here. I mean,
here.
For all we know, you know, once he passes away, they'll do the autopsy and we'll find out that he had that, CTE that I bet you there's a lot of mental things going on here. And I think the best thing for him, you don't have to put him in jail. He won't learn anything from jail. Put him in a mental institution and make sure he gets the help that he needs.
Yeah. You know, I tell you, you know, and watching him, I remember with the Super Six tournament, he was one of the original Super Six when that tournament was going on, and for the super middleweights. And I remember, you know, he was losing it then, you know, because you could hear him slurring his words. He clearly wasn't the same fighter. He was taking a lot of punches. Just a sad, sad thing, man. There's got to be more stricter guidelines in boxing. There really does.
Well, that's why, Eric, I didn't have a problem with what Harvey Dock did on Saturday night. Like I said when we talked about that fight, I think everybody has Pritchard Colon on their mind now, and I think you're going to see a lot of fights stopped like that. I'd rather have a fight stopped too early than too late.
Yeah, you know, and I tell you, you know, it's funny because they always talk about the UFC and how, you know, it's a safer sport. They say that the UFC is actually safer than boxing. And I think it's true. I really do. I mean, you don't take the pounding over continuous, you know, 10, 12 rounds that you do in boxing in the UFC. And as soon as somebody gets in trouble, if you've ever seen a UFC fight, as soon as somebody, you know, gets punched and gets in trouble, the fight's gone. The fight's stopped.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't allow that continual, you know, hammering to take place. And
now, do they still use boxing referees and boxing judges for all the UFC fights?
They do. Yeah, they do. I don't know about boxing referees so much. Not necessarily boxing referees, but they do use the 10-point must system in there, and they also use like Adelaide Bird and stuff like that.
Yeah,
they use
because
boxing
judges. Because I know
judges.
Tony Weeks has been in UFC fights and other referees in Vegas, so, you know. Okay, but no, I think that's what needs to happen to Jermaine Taylor here. I think he needs medical supervision, so I would confine him to a mental institution for however long they want to give him a sentence for, and do it that way.
Yeah, and I'd like to get a little bit more information on what he's actually looking at here. I mean, clearly, obviously, he's looking at 54 years, but, you know, what realistically, what's he looking at? Because he's not going to get 54 years.
I think because of his notoriety, he might get 6.
Yeah.
You know.
Out in 2?
I would say serve 50% of your sentence, so 3 years.
Yeah.
Could be.
I don't know.
You know.
Yeah, we'll see. Usually, yeah, what is it, 1/3 of the sentence and then you're eligible for parole?
Yeah,
I mean, it's usually
like,
1/3.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But like I said, in this case, don't put him in jail. Give him medical help.
Yeah, I wish I could give you more information on it, but, you know, I've never been locked up, so I can't really
tell
you.
Hey, be glad of that, okay? That's his, you know.
I feel like I'm failing the listeners because I've never been locked up. All right.
Well, I'm sure Lisa could arrange that if you like.
Yeah, I'm sure she could, too. I'll tell you that.
All right.
So that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Robbie on Twitter or at Ringside Robert or at the number 773-572-7781. That's Ringside Robbie's Corner. And he's got all the stuff broken down. He's got our podcast on there. He's got a few other podcasts on there. And he's got the history lesson
fights.
He's got everything on there, man.
Yeah,
he's got everything. Yeah. It's a one-stop shop if you're a boxing fan.
And I've got an MMA show up there now, and I'm going to be putting up a wrestling show for those who want to follow wrestling. So,
Oh, that's awesome, man! I love pro wrestling.
Yeah. So
look at you, man, branching off, my man.
Yeah. Hey. Look at him. I'm spending my money wisely, man. I'm trying to provide entertainment for everybody.
I'm going to be working for Robbie pretty soon, you know.
Hey, I'm going to be the Al Heyman of combat sports.
That's right.
There we go.
That's right. That's right.
All right. All right.
I'm at Ringside 73, and we will catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. Check us out on the web at www.ringsidereporter.com, on Twitter at Ringside73, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Ringside73. Subscribe to us on iTunes.